years, the league's 20 clubs have increased their combined value by 10,000%, from around $100 million in 1992 to $15 billion today. During that time, the league has also exported its product to every corner of the planet. How this happened is a tale of how the country that invented the world's favorite game reinvented it, and how a handful of secret meetings in 1992 spawned a crazy quarter century in which money, ambition, and uncommon drama turned an ancient league into the most obsessively followed sports product on planet Earth. The story of how English football took over the world is a business and entertainment saga for the global age. It's a familiar one, at that it begins with a bright idea. What follows is a period of supercharged growth and frothy ambition, which leads to thrilling highs and unimagined riches. If you know anything about the dot-com boom or subprime mortgages, you know where this is heading. The cracks start to appear. Lured by outlandish valuations, investors from far-off places pitch up to grab a slice of the action. Competitors emerge. Short-termism replaces sound judgment. And pretty soon, the whole enterprise is degenerated into a tawdry mixture of peacock egos, pathological greed, and shocking profligacy. The Premier League is a timeless tale of boom and bust, no different from all those other bubbles they warn you about in business school textbooks. Except, that is, in one crucial respect. In football, the bubble never burst. As any British train station newsstand will prove, here and now in the twilight of the newspaper era, one rule seems to be enough to keep no fewer than 9 national dailies in business. There is no such thing as too many soccer pages. On any given morning, those 9 newspapers will generate roughly 100 pages of copy on the Premier League between them, and that's only in print media. Britain's fanatical coverage of its most popular product, this side of the sandwich, also buttresses 24-hour sports news channels and fills the airwaves 24/7, 365 days a year, even in the off-season. And that's only in Britain. Considering the fact that the Premier League is chronicled in such minute, neurotic detail every day of its existence, the idea of a complete history would be both impossible and laughable. It would be like trying to chronicle the ins and outs of stock market fluctuations over a period of 25 years. A lot of numbers, a lot of lunatics in pinstriped suits, and not at all fun to read. But there is one aspect of English soccer's modern history that hasn't quite been unpacked. The inside story of how the Premier League became the Premier League Inc. Not just a football product, but the global sports, business, and entertainment behemoth it is today. This is the story we want to tell. English soccer didn't begin in 1992, but that year, which marked the foundation of the Premier League, became the sport's BC-AD milestone, the defining moment where nothing would be recorded the same way again. So how to tell the crazy story of everything that's happened since? We started, unwittingly, by living through it. We were both raised in the UK in the 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s, the same period when English soccer transformed from a hyper-local community activity into a worldwide entertainment monster. Robinson, who is half French, fell for the Gallic charms of Arsene Wenger's Arsenal and has yet to recover. Clegg, who grew up in Essex, succumbed to the more roguish qualities of Harry Redknapp's West Ham. Our contrasting soccer afflictions independently led us to the same career as sports writers. And as we obsessively followed the Premier League's rise, something else was unfolding 3,500 miles from any English soccer stadium that would transform the league's global reach. America started paying attention. Our coverage, informed by soccer conversations on both sides of the Atlantic, led to our charting an impressionistic, episodic history of the major inflection points in the league's history. Right in front of us was an impossible not to tell version of the Premier League's